Happy to be here with my old teammate, Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, and we just finished the first day of minicamp. How'd it go, bud?
Not bad.
Were you happy with the energy and the compete level out there?
Yeah, I think it's going good. You know what I mean? You got to get to the red zone, and again, the defense has to take care of the offense. There's no pads. You can't really reroute anybody. So, again, just trying to celebrate touchdowns. It's hard to get down there. And again, you know, when you score, we want the guys to celebrate. But we got first, second, third down in. We had some no huddle. So I think there's a lot in so far. I think that we've thrown a lot at them. And I think that they've responded.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Drake may be at Wimbledon watching some tennis on grass courts, but football season is sneaky right around the corner. We're now officially in the month of Patriots training camp, NFL training camps opening a little over 3 weeks from today. So WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball, myself, we all talked about it like, you know what? We need to start kind of talking a little more Patriots leading into training camp. So 4 o'clock football every day. Tune in at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk about some topic related to your New England Patriots, who are now
the darlings
of the NFL. A lot of expectations. A lot of people think they're going to be a good football team.
Yeah. Is there a little positive chatter towards
the Pats? There is positive energy and chatter, and we learned with the Red Sox that means nothing. The bottom can fall out shortly thereafter. But for now, Fitzy, you know what season it is. It's hope season in 32 cities across the National Football League, including right here in New England. So today, the 4 o'clock football question that we are posing, which person, not named Mike Vrabel or Drake May, because we know those guys are the faces of the franchise, the head coach, the quarterback, those are the most important guys in New England. Which person not named Mike Vrabel or Drake May is under the most pressure in 2025? So I will kick things off here with my draft crush, Will Campbell. I think Will Campbell is the simple answer here. It really is. The offensive line has been just an absolute crap show for this team for the last 2+ years. Vidarian Lowe, I feel bad for you, but you were out there and you were terrible. You couldn't line up. You couldn't block. All you did was hold.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I really feel for
him. How many false starts did he have? Because he was so terrified of somebody getting the jump on
him. Isn't that sad? Like, that guy dreamed probably of being an NFL left tackle, and then he got the job, and it's like, I don't want to be a left tackle anymore.
Left tackle's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's like you see them digging in, those edge rushers, and just – they know that you, you're having issues, and they get in your head. Oh, not fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now your new left tackle is the number 4 overall pick. It is Will Campbell. He has the grit. He has the resume. He started at LSU, the SEC. We all know the story of why he's here, and we know the one reason why he's still a question mark, because unlike Hugo Gonzalez, his wingspan is not great. It is short. He is a T-Rex left tackle.
He's like a pear-shaped T-Rex.
Yes, and we are going to watch. That is not nice.
That's the best I can
come up with. No, he is
isolate
a far avocado of a T-Rex. You are
there you go.
He is a pear-shaped T-Rex. That is not nice. That is your franchise left tackle. He is the most important person, not named Drake May, on that offense. And we're going to monitor it. When July 23rd, everything. People were monitoring it during OTAs when they don't even have pads on and no one's really pass rushing and blocking.
Yep.
But every move that Will Campbell makes, including, I think, how he answers questions, how Drake May answers questions about him, that whole thing. So, Will Campbell, you want to be a franchise left tackle. You said you wanted to be a Patriot, right? That was part of the story along the way. You decided he wanted to be in New England. Well, careful what you wish for, because there is a lot of expectation and pressure on your broad shoulders. There's a lot of guy with a lot of pressure on their broad shoulders,
man.
Ted Johnson.
I like that. That's a good one.
So, yeah, mine is Will Campbell. Fitzy, you want to go up next?
And one of the problems is, Andy, those shoulders do look broad, but maybe not just broad enough, hence why he got called a pear-shaped T-Rex by the former middle linebacker that dominated the center of the field for your New England Patriots. I would love to see, by the way, since we can do a lot of things with AI now, I would love to see AI Ted Johnson just bull rushing AI Will Campbell. That'd be a hell of a thing to see. How do you think you'd do, Teddy?
I think I'd do all right. The first couple times.
I was going to say, you got one in you. Do you have a second? You got a second rep?
Probably not. The first rep, I bet on me, and then after that, bet on Will.
Well, he put your boy on his ass, Vrabel, right? Down there in that workout, Will Campbell put him on his ass.
And Will looks like he's So he looks like, and you know why? Because he's got heavy hands. And he looks like he's got a hard head and heavy hands. And those that combination in offensive line is very difficult to just really get any kind of physical dominance over.
Right.
Because they're like,
a lot of
they absorb your hits, and they're like, and
I was going to say, like, no disrespect for you, but if you bull rush him, he probably takes that as a victory for him. That doesn't challenge his length and his long arms and the corner.
But it is interesting. I think that's going to be the one move that is going to give him the most problems.
Yeah.
Is when they get up under him. I think his lateral movement is elite.
Yep.
So it's what he's had problems with at LSU is guys when they get up under him and bull rush, that he gets pushed back a little bit. So that's something he's got to be careful for.
Yeah, Andy, there's a guy actually on the Miami Dolphins, a team I think once we get into this kind of stuff as football at 4 o'clock leading to training camp progresses that I think may give him a hard time if he's healthy enough. A guy like with the Jason Taylor-like length of a Jalen Phillips on the Miami Dolphins, he may actually give – that could be a matchup I'm looking forward to seeing as well. Yeah. And I agree with you. I would say probably of all Patriots not named Mike Vrabel or Drake May, that Will Campbell has the most pressure on him. However – coming up number two, and it's mostly because of the payday he received to become a centerpiece addition of the offseason and the defense for your New England Patriots, I'd have to go with Milton Williams because I think he's going to be the linchpin of how this defense goes. Do I believe in him? Does Mike Vrabel obviously have confidence in him? Does Terrell Williams believe that he's going to be the leader on this defense to strike quickly, strike violently, strike aggressively, and strike often? Absolutely. If he dominates and he, alongside hopefully a healthy Christian Barmore, can set the table and set the tempo on the defensive line, hell yes, then that defense is potentially going to be a top 10 defense. But when you go from playing less than 50% of the snaps alongside a future Hall of Famer in waiting like the dominance of Jalen Carter to now having to be the focal point of the defensive line, $26 million per season, those are some lofty expectations you need to live up to. I think he can, but I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the very broad shoulders of Milton Williams this season. So here's my pick.
And these are sort of the common selections, right? You got the high first round pick, the top five pick faces a lot of expectation, and you got the face of their free agent class, the $100 million guy. And even more so, I agree with you, Fitzy. To me, the biggest thing with Milton Williams is what Vrabel joked about at the press conference. We expect you to play a lot more than you did last year. I hope you're ready for that. You never really know how he reacts to that, right? How his body holds up, how his motor holds up. It's a hell of a lot easier to go 100 miles an hour when you play half the snaps, right?
No doubt.
Now you got to pace yourself.
What a luxury. That kind of highlights how good that roster is when you can have a player like Milton Williams only go 50% of the snaps.
Yep. Yeah, it is. All right, Ted, you're up.
All right. So the most pressure, not named, you know, Drake May and Mike Vrabel, is this person talking about one Drake May.
I mean, he's doing really well. He's very smart, works really hard. I think the quarterback room in general is really, really good in terms of putting the time and effort in at this point in time of the year. You know, and like I said, we either make a good play or we learn from the result. And so sometimes as a coach, and nobody wants to hear this, but sometimes as a coach, the negative results can actually be your best teachers because you have a play where something didn't necessarily go your way or the right way, and then you learn from it, and then the biggest key for us as we go forward.
All right, bud, that's enough. That's Josh McDaniels, obviously. You guys know his voice.
Yeah.
I think the most pressure is on him. If you look at the offensive rankings from last year, points per game, which is, at the end of the day, probably the most important.
Yeah.
How many points do you score?
Scoreboard.
17 points. Guy had them ranked 30th in the NFL in points per game. Yards per game, which to me isn't as important, but they use it as their determination for best defenses is usually yards.
Total offense, total defense, it's yards.
Patriots are 31st. And then the two most important statistics there is for an offense and for defense, and you guys getting to work with me will be so tired of hearing me talk about these two different situations in football, but third down and red zone. Third down and red zone are very, very important indicators of how well your defense is and offense. Last year, the Patriots offense ranked 30th in third down at 34%, and in the red zone, 47%, and ranked 30th in the NFL. So you can't get much worse than that. But the point is, Josh McDaniels is being brought in here to First off, get Drake May to be the franchise quarterback. I think he can be, and a lot of people do, to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, for an offensive line and wide receiver group, and improving all these stats. So to me, it's not even close. It's Josh McDaniels that has the most pressure other than Drake May and Mike Vrabel for all of those reasons. This offense has been putrid for too long now. We got to see some life signs from it, and hopefully Josh is the guy to get it done.
And you can actually argue, Fitzy, that even though we eliminated Vrabel and Drake May from this discussion,
yep,
Josh could be higher than Drake May because he's kind of the guy responsible for molding and pulling Drake May in the right direction. Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing I will say is he's super qualified. Like, we have these questions about Milton Williams. What's going to happen when he plays 86% of the snaps? Or, you know, Will Campbell, what's going to happen when he faces a long-armed professional pass rusher? I can tell you what happens when Josh McDaniels coaches a quarterback as an offensive coordinator. Save for that one year with Sam Bradford that stunk with the Rams, he's been good at it. If your name was Brady or Castle, speaking of Matt Castle.
Tomorrow, 4:30.
Tomorrow, 4:30.
All right. Great get, Ted.
But whether you're Matt Castle, Jimmy Garoppolo, whoever, Mac Jones, who is now a bust, who is now a journeyman backup quarterback in the NFL, with Josh McDaniels, he was a Pro Bowl playoff quarterback. So
sure
we've seen Josh get the job done, but now he just needs to get the job done one more time to take this team to the next level. So I like that one. Okay, behind the glass, boys, let's go to a Stiz. I'm always interested to get the sort of local super fan perspective of Stiz, the Belichick trusting guy that is Stiz. Who's got the most pressure, Stiz?
I'm going to say Steph Diggs. Oh. I think Steph Diggs has the most pressure on him. He's supposed to be one of our best receivers. He came in. He's what's most likely at the end of his career. And so all eyes are on you. And I think especially after that boat incident, it is time to show and prove, my guy.
But that's how you handle pressure, that tootsie, you know?
Yeah,
you got to get that.
Yeah, a little.
Tootsie.
Yeah, tootsie.
But, yeah, so, you know, tootsie, I think tootsie. The pressure is he starts having some bad games. Oh, yeah. My God. The boat incident will come back. Everything will start bubbling up. The media will be on him. So I think Diggs has a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, I would just quibble with one thing. You said he's supposed to be one of our best. No, he's supposed to be the best.
Yeah, the, yeah.
Without him, it is an absolute wide-open competition for next in line, the whole thing. And the other thing that he has with pressure is just he is coming off an ACL. Like, I know we thought he looked good when we put our eyes on him down at OTAs, but the history of receivers coming off ACLs says they're not really back to their full selves for a little while. But people won't give him that out, I don't think. People want him on the field week one. People want him being targeted, whatever, 8 times with 6 catches for 90 yards in week one.
Yeah.
So
you think he feels pressure? Joe from Saugus, you think he's like, I go to bed with Cardi B every night. I don't. You think I care what Joe from Saugus thinks?
I got $50 million in the bank. I go to bed with Cardi B, and I'm on the red carpet at the Met Gala.
You think he'll be going to bed with Cardi B in September and October?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Women weak in knees, hot. What about if he has like a case of the dropsies early on in the season, isn't in his normal form, and then all of a sudden he finishes third in receptions on the team?
Oh, yeah. That'll be a disaster. And also, by conjunction, that'll screw Drake May. That'll screw Josh McDaniels.
And his third on the team in tackles, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, that will not be good. That will not be good. Dan Ball?
Daniel, what do you think, bub?
Go ahead, Fitzy. Go ahead. I want
to
hear.
I was just going to ask one question back to the Drake May, Josh McDaniels point. Who's, you know, is it the pedigree of Josh that should alleviate some of the pressure and expectations? Is it the talent of Drake? And does Drake sort of get a mulligan because, like, oh, well, it's that fancy McDaniels offense. So there's less pressure on Drake to understand Josh, more that there is pressure on Josh to elevate and start to bring out the best
of Drake. I think that's fair.
Because it's a very fascinating relationship that could be developing between the two.
I don't know if people are going to give Drake too much of the benefit. They didn't last year. Like, nope. I didn't hear a lot of people kind of like, I made more excuses than most people. You know, I like to think I know football better than most people, but, you know.
Brag.
But most people did not give him a break last year, Fitzy, so why would they give him a break this year?
I don't think he's getting any breaks this year. If anything, I've already heard this whole thing that's been widely spread that if you're a true franchise quarterback, you make the playoffs in your second season. Year. Like, Yeah, you know, like there can't be any more pressure than that for him, and to get all the details along the way.
It is kind of amazing that's that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, it's your guy, Parcells. If it doesn't bark as a puppy, it ain't barking, right?
And it's a big dog, right?
Right. So Drake May has a lot of pressure this year. I don't think
very
he's getting.
Apropos. That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, he's okay when I bring up Parcells quotes. If I bring up Belichick quotes, I get yelled at around.
No wonder, actually, you like Parcells so much. You guys must have just had saying offs when you were talking to each other.
I got most of them from him, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I just think alike.
Was the Red Rocket from him?
Our phone lines are open.
No.
Oh, that's a Texas Red Rocket?
I got stiffer than a cigar store Indian from here, stiffer than a donkey's in March from him. So I got some good ones. But
wait, donkeys
are you digging into that?
That's what I'm told. In March,
into
I guess
the Parcells
donkeys get really,
book
really.
March donkeys are the horniest, apparently.
That's according to Bill Parcells.
Who
yes.
knew?
Yep.
Dan Ball, why don't we get to you now?
Okay. I'm sticking on the offense as well. My answer is Ramondre Stevenson, because I think while the runway was quote unquote cleared for Drake May, I think it was covered a bit more for Stevenson, where now your running back room is a lot more competitive. You have guys that are vying for snaps that it's going to be relatively easy for him to be jumped if he continues to have the issues with the fumbles that he had prior. So he's got a contract extension that he's trying to live up to. You've got an offensive coordinator who you know is going to value the run, and an offense that, as you guys talk about all of the question marks around the passing game, is going to need to have a solid and reliable run game. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him, as there are guys behind him on the depth chart that are kind of trying to kick him out of town for him to show that Love there it. Is that kind of potential that we saw from Love him
it.
In years past.
Love it. It's a great point. I like there needs to be competition in the running back room.
Oh, yeah.
In all the rooms.
There
more,
is.
But there's just something about Ramondre where I feel like he needs to be pushed a little bit. I think it's an excellent point. And I think Travion's going to be the perfect guy to push him.
And
I do.
You know who also, I think is feeling pushed is Ramondre Stevenson. Stevenson. You know, it's a sports cliche. You usually
Slim
get in your best
Ramondre.
Shape when you're worried that your job is on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, he's a guy that is definitely in better shape this year. Or I'll say different shape, Fitzy. Maybe better isn't fair.
Slim down. Andy, would a best case scenario be for the 2025 Patriots, a team that I still believe is going to lean on the run more than the pass, even if that doesn't sound sexy to the average Pats fan, because it'll be easier for the line that's coming together, easier for Drake, understanding Josh's offense. And I believe this this running back room, can have some real depth this year. The best case scenario could be Travion comes in and has a Garoppolo-like effect, if you will, on Ramondre.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, if you get a motivated, because I still think Ramondre Stevenson is talented. Now, I hope he hasn't been worn down by the tough carries in the last couple of years and mentally by the fumbling issues, but I still think that the guy that I thought was the poor man Saquon Barkley, that could, you know, was big and powerful, but also could break away, catch the ball a little bit.
A little bit. He's not close to being the receiver.
I said a poor man's. I said poor.
You're right.
Poor man's.
I said not even close.
Ocean State job lot version.
I hope that guy is still in there and he still has some of that skill and ability. Can I throw some names out there that I think could have been in consideration that didn't get brought up by our esteemed panel?
Go, Captain.
So we said Purston. I would put Elliot Wolf in there, because if Will Campbell's not great and Milton Williams isn't great and even the guys from last year get cut by Vrabel, I think Elliot Wolf could be a guy that could be run out of town here in New England very quickly. He got year two because he redid the scouting system and Robert liked that and different things. But if the proof isn't in the pudding and they don't take the jump that a lot of us expect to 8, 9, 10 wins, and the roster isn't as good as some people expect it to be, isn't that going to fall on Elliot Wolf? And wouldn't it be easy to run him out of town and then Mike Vrabel and Ryan Cowden and those guys just take full control?
Well, he's the next guy to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've switched head coaches. The owner's not going anywhere.
Right.
So it makes sense that if they continue to lose like they have last, you know, 2 years, then Elliot Wolf's name will be, you know, front and center for, you know, getting fired.
And if by November Will Campbell is being bumped inside to guard and is no longer a tackle because he couldn't hang and some of those other things, I think some of that could be scapegoated on Elliot Wolf. Even
Maybe.
Though Vrabel is the man, I think Elliot could be scapegoated. Another guy I'll put out there, because I think this guy legitimately faces the highest expectations on the team, and we didn't mention him, is Christian Gonzalez. He's an all-pro cornerback who's expected to now be an even better all-pro cornerback for this team. And we've seen at the cornerback position in the NFL, it ebbs and flows. It feels like a guy is the best in the league for like a year or two, and then somebody passes him up and he has a down year or something happens. But I just think by the nature of the fact, we don't know about May. We don't know about Cam. We know Christian Gonzalez was an all-pro corner. So now do it again and be better. Be Fitzy's defensive player of the year candidate. Be Steph Gilmore from a few years ago. Be the best defensive player for this team and in the league. So I think he's a guy that faces a lot of expectations. 617-779-7937. What'd you think our list of expectations? Do you have names that we should have put on there? Did we do a good job? You can call in and add your voice to the conversation. One of those guys, though, Josh McDaniels, well, NBC Sports Boston ranked the offensive coordinators in the National Football League.
This was interesting.
And I think people will find it interesting where Josh McDaniels ranks on that list of play callers for the Patriots. So we'll talk about that up next. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Steph is a unique individual, unique player. Got a really good skill set. Been a very productive player for a long time. Excited about his addition. My brother had an opportunity to coach him last year in Houston. So I have a little bit of insight into what he's like day to day, and I'm really excited about having him here.
Wow, Josh McDaniels getting a lot of love on this show. Multiple cuts of audio being played.
He's important.
He's an important figure with the 2025 New England Patriots, and that brings us to NBC.
Especially when you hire a defensive-minded head coach.
Yes, yes, right? And especially when you have a young quarterback under said defensive-minded head coach.
Another good point.
Lot coming together here for the Patriots here on WEEI Afternoons. Our friends over at NBC Sports Boston, specifically the Senator, Phil Perry. He's not doing mock drafts anymore, Fitzy. He's doing off-season rankings on their website. And he went through offensive coordinators. And so we'll set the table here, and then we'll get to Josh McDaniels. Because I was a little, I was wondering if this was going to be homerific. Like, number one on the list, Josh McDaniels.
I was surprised by this list a little bit.
But Josh McDaniels not number one on the list. Number one on the list.
Breakdown in segments.
Yeah, they have the best of the best category, which I actually disagree with right off the bat.
So it's just easy. Tier one, tier two, and three, and four.
Well,
so
you can't say tier. That's a Rich Keefe. They only do that on the midday show.
Okay.
They own tiers. The best of the best. Sean McVay is one. Andy Reid is two. Kyle Shanahan is three. Out of respect, I would have just put Andy Reid number one, because I think the thing he's done for a quarter of a century with different quarterbacks, different teams, I'm a big fan of. But obviously, Sean McVay is well-respected, and Kyle Shanahan supposedly has the most QB-friendly offense in the NFL, the most creative offense. So those are the three that are on a tier or a level all their own.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have the Wizards is the choice of words they used, and there's four members of this category. Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, who's actually a Sean McVay guy, sort of a disciple. Matt LaFleur with the Packers. Sean Payton with the Broncos. And Ben Johnson of the Bears, who leaves the Lions to take over that poop show in Chicago for Brian Furzocco. So those are the next tier. Then we have the artists. Three more. Mike McDaniel. Interesting, because I feel like a lot of people are down on Mike McDaniel in Miami and the Dolphins.
I'm down on it, just his overall head coaching ability.
Yeah.
I think he's a hell of an offensive mind, though.
That might
just
be
just snagged a nice tight end, though.
That might be, yes, he did. That might be the comparison with Josh McDaniels there, who I think a lot of people feel that is not a head coach, but is an offensive coordinator. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator with the Ravens, who has the benefit of having Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I feel like I could be the offensive coordinator on that team.
Right.
Okay, next category, in good hands. So if you're listening, we're 10 deep here, and there is no mention of Josh McDaniels, but there is at number 11 in the in good hands category, a couple ex-Patriots, actually, or current and ex. Josh McDaniels, 11. Brian Daboll, the head coach of the Giants. Arthur Smith with the Steelers. And Joe Brady with the Buffalo Bills. So Josh McDaniels, the 11th best offensive coordinator in football. Fitzy, what do we think of that ranking?
I don't think that's unfair at all. I think that's probably appropriate. I was going to say top 10, so he's 11th, and that's pretty fair coming from someone who has followed him for a long time in Phil Perry. Now, if he's able to unlock Drake May, if he's able to turn this torpid offense around of the last couple of years, Ted, you should easily see Josh McDaniels make his way back into the top 10. But right now, I think that's actually, that's 11 out of 32 is basically top third. That's a fair assessment, and especially since we haven't seen him call plays in New England in a couple of years, I full well expect him to be top 10 by this time next year.
You know, the more I think about it, you know, Fitzy, it's hard for me to really disagree with you. It's kind of like, you know, when you look at the names in front of him, you go, okay, that kind of makes sense. And part of it is Josh, what is he really known for? Like, you look at some of these coordinators, you go, Sean McVay, I know exactly what he is.
Yep.
He's from the Shanahan, okay? You know, Andy Reid is kind of uniquely his own style, right?
I love him.
I mean, I do too. So, you know, it's kind of like with Josh, like, you know, he's a game plan guy. I don't really, you know, exactly. He's not like, you don't watch his film and go, oh, I want to try that. He just,
right.
It's more about week to week doing different things that exploits the weakness in the defense. And so it's not like he's setting any trends or he's doing an offense that is like, wow, I've never seen that happen. But he is a solid offensive coordinator, and I think he can develop quarterbacks. I think he can teach him how to read defenses. And really, I think where Josh's strength is, that doesn't necessarily show, you're not going to see it from a stylistic point. You're like, oh, that's the West Coast, or that's the Kyle Shanahan system. It's his ability to teach the quarterback how to get in the right play based on what the defense is showing. So it's almost as if you can't see the genius of Josh McDaniels, because if I see that quarterback, check, check, audible, audible, check, check, and then you see a successful play, I'll give Josh McDaniels credit because that's where his expertise is.
And, you know, what is Josh McDaniels known for? And I think part of the negative or whatever is Tom Brady. Oh, it's just Tom Brady. I could have coached Tom Brady. You could have coached Tom Brady. And I don't think people give him enough credit for the various little windows of success with other quarterbacks not named Tom Brady. And I also, there's been a negative tint to sort of talk of Josh McDaniels lately about he puts too much on the quarterback. He asks them to too much. The playbook is too big. The verbiage is too much. Like, all these things that aren't McVay, that aren't some of these other systems. Right. And maybe even...
That proves my point. So it's all about trying to figure out the perfect play based on what the defense...
Right.
As opposed to, here's the play, go run it. It's a lot easier to do that for a quarterback.
Oh, too much Correct. Of a perfectionist, you're saying, Ted. Okay.
And even he acknowledged this, I would say, with what he did, which was sort of bouncing around last year, looking at other systems and styles and coaching points and maybe trying to streamline it a little bit or alter it just a little bit. But there is also part of him that says, damn it, we teach the quarterback how to do that, how to get in the right play, the right protection. So he does have the answers to the test, right? Remember the famous Tom yep. Brady, I have the answers to the test?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Josh feels like he's giving the guy the answers to the test. Like
right.
It's an open book exam.
Right.
And they're going to throw stuff at you, and I have prepared you to change based on what you see, right? And there's truth to that, but I also think it's a process. It can be more difficult. I'll tell you what
it,
I find.
It can. It really can. No
I, what I find really interesting about this list is at least one name that is behind Josh McDaniels. And that would be Phil Perry's 16th ranked offensive coordinator in the I'm interested category, one spot behind Chip Kelly, who jumps from college football to the Raiders. That would be Cliff Kingsbury, who all I heard last year was the job he did with Jaden Daniels, turned the Commanders around.
How's he behind Josh McDaniels?
I don't know. That's why
he got a rookie quarterback to the NFC Championship game.
I mean, maybe that's recency bias, and maybe Phil was sort of trying to avoid recency bias because he did fail with Kyler Murray as the head coach / offensive mm-hmm. coordinator play caller. There was even some criticisms of him for, didn't he spend the year at USC with Caleb Williams?
There, yeah.
And Caleb
yeah.
Williams had a little regression, and some people think maybe Cliff Kingsbury could have played a role there. But last year, if you're doing sort of the here and now offensive coordinator rankings, he should be about 12 spots higher, shouldn't he? He took a rookie quarterback to the NFC title
Give me Cliff Kingsbury
game.
Over Josh McDaniels right now. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's more forward-thinking
Saucy
than Josh.
But
I do.
That also could come crashing down
this
year.
I mean, they both suck as head coaches, but I think Cliff is a very, very his offensive mind is spectacular.
Hey, Andy, where since you have the list in front of
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
Was Nick Sirianni / the Eagles offense to be found anywhere?
So Nick's Kevin Petullo. Anyone's guess
Petullo.
Category. Yeah, anyone's guess category. Well, this is a Andy needs to study some of the coordinators that are in the NFL right now because number 32,
Andy.
Josh Grizzard, offensive coordinator, Buccaneers. I never heard of that
Grizz.
Guy.
He took over for
Liam Cohen, right?
Duval.
Yeah, Liam Cohen moved on to become a head coach. But, right. Yeah, Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, is 29th. Our old friend Nick Caley is 28th with the Houston Texans, where he took over for Bobby Slowick. Mm. You, what are you furrowing your brow at Nick Caley for? You don't like Nick Caley?
Yes, I know he is your offensive coordinator equivalent of Jalen Brown. You've dubbed him one of your guys.
I like him.
No wrong.
It's a nice kid.
I'm very curious to see what he does.
No, I think he's had good experiences. You know where he's been?
First of all,
New England and then L.A. with McVay. I think that's a pretty good background to piece together if you're a pretty good young coach, smart coach.
The guy might be a very good offensive coordinator, but he's got this interesting mix of bringing in two new wide receivers from Iowa State, C.J. Stroud on the third year, looking to reacquire what he got in year one. Peyton Manning defended him, said it wasn't really a regression in year two. And also, by the way, massive transition on their offensive line. They traded away Laremy Tunsil, so your guy Nick Caley is going to be dealing with a lot of change in Houston. That's why I say it's an interesting position.
And maybe the most interesting tier here is the need more information crew that Phil Perry put together, and one that jumps off the page, this weird hire from last year at 27th, Brian Schottenheimer, who's now the head coach of the Cowboys in a pressure-packed situation.
That's going to be a beautiful disaster down there. Brian Schottenheimer, I've been listening to what he's been kind of been selling to. So they're changing the culture down there. He is all about changing the culture.
Oh, yeah, whose lockers did he move? He moved.
I forget, but he is.
Micah Parsons next to Dak Prescott, maybe.
Big on
or
this
something?
Culture.
But Dak
thing.
Looks ripped.
Oh, dude. I just.
You don't think it's going to work?
I'm not feeling it, man. Dallas is going to be awful again, I think, this year.
And also in that category is a couple guys that, if you remember, people wanted around here. Zach Robinson. People wanted him to come here 2 years ago or whatever with Mayo. And Dave Canales, who became the head coach with the Panthers.
Big fan of that guy.
And they have ridden a weird roller coaster, obviously, with their quarterback situation and the pressure that the owner puts on them. But Josh McDaniels, is he the 11th best offensive coordinator in football?
That's actually, the more you think about it, I think that's appropriately fit right there.
Well, and it's also, I think, a little bit like the quarterback position. You know how we talk about there's that group at the top that you just say, yeah, they're the best. Mm-hmm. And it includes Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Jackson. And then that next group varies from year to year, right? It ebbs and flows. Like Cliff Kingsbury, if they get off to a good start and you redid this list, Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a top five, top eight offensive coordinator. Now, if there's a regression, people are going to say, I don't know what happened last year. Do we blame him? So I think that grew, and Josh is the same thing. If the Patriots are 3-1 in September and Drake May looks like he's a legit starting
That's
quarterback.
That's what I'm betting. I'm betting on a 3-1 start.
Josh will be up by, 7-6-5 somewhere for offensive coordinators. So, interesting list to keep an eye on. Good job by Phil Perry doing a little.
It is interesting, though, when you kind of look at the diversity of the offensive coaching staff. Todd Dowling, the wide receivers coach. Doug Marone, the offensive line coach. Thomas Brown, the tight end passing game coordinator. They all come from different styles of offense. And the word is, Josh is hearing all their different styles. I'm kind of curious to see what the offense looks like.
I am too.
With all of these underlings and Josh putting this in a pot and then giving it to what I think is a just amazingly skilled quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be an elite franchise quarterback, but he's a very skilled quarterback. See, what is that? I'm curious to see what that looks like.
It could either be fantastic football fusion of all that coming together. Because Josh talked about in OTAs, we're running plays today that I have no experience with. I've never seen before because these guys want to bring
him. He's taking an ego out. He doesn't have an ego.
That's great.
Perfect.
And we'll see how that goes. Or it could be a disaster because there's too many cooks in the kitchen and the flavors don't marry up properly. And
won't
happen. People
I'm guessing against that.
Okay. We're betting against it. We'll see. But we're going to wrap up the football power hour here on WEEI Afternoons. I don't know if you've noticed, but the top 100, the NFL offseason ranking of all the players in the league, that has started to trickle out. It's actually no longer on NFL Network. They're doing it on YouTube and Twitter and these various streaming ways.
The finals are still on NFL Network.
Oh, okay.
I believe so.
When we get to the big stuff, we'll get back to cable television.
The ones that matter, yeah.
But, the top 100's out. We'll give you the first couple guys on it, and then we'll speculate which Patriots could be on the top 100, who'll be highest. That conversation's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
What song is this, Diz?
Just someone who wishes he was a little bit taller.
Not cool. We saved the bullying for late in the show today. Ted, I didn't even show you.
me see.
Yeah. My Hey Dudes on, baby.
Oh, those Hey Dudes. Very patriotic Hey Dudes.
You know who advertises for Hey Dudes?
Who's that?
The overrated Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, wait, that was a real thing?
Oh, yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, she does ads for Hey Dudes.
That's amazing.
She has her own line of, like, women's
slippers.
I thought
you just slippers.
Made that up. No. I'm not group. That good. I wish I knew how to do stuff like that.
I was going to say, I was impressed.
No, she legit does ads and photo shoots for Hey Dudes. She's one of their brand endorsers or whatever.
So a company called Hey Dudes has a female endorser.
Genius.
Does that make sense to anybody? I don't know. Why am I struggling with that?
Well, you're marketing to dudes.
Why do they have a sports bar and restaurant named Hooters? Same concept.
Men are simple creatures.
We really are. Food and boobs. We're done.
Okay, fair enough.
You add beer into, you know, liquids into the food category.
It all interchanges.
Yes. But yeah, the NFL 100 is slowly trickling out. What, do you want me to go down that road further, Dan Ball? You're like... I mean, my son wanted me. He was texting me earlier. When are you going to talk about the blowback you got from saying Sydney Sweeney's not that hot? Because I took a beating from my son's friend group. They think I'm an idiot. I'm blind. What the hell are you talking? No wonder. Blah, 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 blah. Sydney Sweeney has weird eyes. I'm just saying it. She has weird eyes. And some people are probably like, wait, she has eyes? I didn't know that. But no, we're moving on from that. We're not doing mean tweets. Dan, do you have a mean tweet you want to read?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, NFL. I see you on your phone in there.
I don't have them ready yet, so go ahead.
And I know you wanted to beat up on me a little bit. But
The
first three members of the NFL Top 100 are out. And number 100 hurts.
Yeah, this
it hurts
is,
a lot oof, of people.
It's awful.
I know Fitzy. It is a blow. Ladd McConkey, number 100.
Got to be rated higher than that.
Number
think.
One in Fitzy's heart, but number 100 yes. on the NFL
number
top
Number one
100.
On my most unforgivable list. Number one in my heart. Number one on the New England Patriots 2025 wide receiver rankings if Elliott Wolf had not screwed the pooch at midnight without even asking a couple months back. That is still borderline unforgivable. Travion Henderson might redeem him, but to me, not taking Ladd McConkey, the easiest and most obvious available wide receiver in last year's draft.
That's a black mark on Elliott Wolf for sure.
It is. That didn't go
too
well.
Perfect.
Especially
too perfect.
In relation to, we'll just take Jalen Polk. And that really didn't. I don't know what went worse for Elliott Wolf, how good Ladd McConkey was, or how bad Jalen Polk was.
It was the combination
like
of both.
The difference between the two, the delta.
Couldn't be further away.
Oh, my God. And especially.
How about the 9 receptions for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns McConkey put up last December against the Patriots?
Let me tell you something. Ladd McConkey, some of the routes he was running in that game against the Patriots, they were doing stuff that only Mahomes and Travis Kelce do. Like, he would have a post route, and then he'd see the safety in the middle, and he'd break it out and run a corner route, and find that space,
right.
He would adjust on the fly in the middle of a route. And I've only seen Kansas City do that.
Wow.
Ladd McConkey was doing that in his rookie year with the Chargers.
With Herbert, Justin Herbert. So, you know, that connection between the two. Yeah. Music to the ears of Chargers fans, I'm sure.
To see that combination
flourish.
Yeah,
next
Greg
up.
Greg Roman, I believe, yeah.
Leonard Williams at 99, and then Aaron Jones at 98. I don't know if you guys have any quick comments on those before we move on. Okay, so to me, the most interesting part of this, sort of at this point in the process, is which Patriots could be on it, and how high could they land?
Well, who's on it? Is there no Patriots on it? Are you telling us... Right now, there's no Patriots on it?
No, we don't know.
Oh.
No. It's not out. We only have 199.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, they string this out forever.
So they give you the top
this
five?
This is the biggest tease
95
ever.
95 to 100.
This is
they're giving you like two a day.
Yeah.
Until the season.
It's a tease. But I have to think Christian Gonzalez is in the top 100, right?
Yes.
An all-pro cornerback in his second season.
Yes.
So Christian Gonzalez, how high he gets... I mean, theoretically, he should probably be top 50.
That's the only player on that list. Patriots have one player.
He'll be in the 70s.
Patriots have 70s. One player.
Well, anybody that they added, is Milton Williams have a chance to be in there?
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Was a guy that I would throw in there as a possibility.
You know what? Okay. I would bet on those two guys being in the top 100, yes.
I actually kind of hope Milton Williams is in there because you gave him $100 million.
Top free agent. Top free agent.
Right, top free agent. Yeah, you gave him $100 million. You'd like to think he's one of the best 100 players in the National Football
League.
What about
players?
Chooks?
What top 100 most retired before the season?
Top 100
players?
Walkaway candidates this year.
But it does put into perspective the roster, like how bad the roster is.
But it's been like this for a while.
And the other thing is, and this is
Patriots
something.
Haven't had players in the top 100 for a while.
I've heard out of that building is they believe
They've improved the starter talent, the number of starters they have.
No question.
But they still question how they marry up with elite players. Do they not have as many elite players as other teams or guys that need to prove that they are elite? I mean, they might by the end of the year. Am I crazy? Let me just throw this out there. By the end of the year, is it not possible that Drake May, Travion Henderson, Christian Barmore, Milton Williams could all join Christian Gonzalez in the top 100?
Without
you could
question.
Have five right there.
Yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
How about Steph Diggs re-entering the chat?
Steph Diggs could. Okay, that's a sixth player. I would even throw out either one of the running backs. If Ramondre Stevenson fits with this offense, I don't rule out that he could have a great year. And all it really takes is one great year to jump yourself back into the conversation.
So you're saying they may legit probably have two guys, but they potentially could have six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they live up to what we all think their ceiling is.
And that's your hope, is that by this time next year, we realize they all elevated, or a big chunk of them elevated. Hell, could you throw Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar in there? Could they have a great year at safety?
Sure. What if Hunter Henry reassumes the comfort level he had with Josh McDaniels back in 2021? You know he's the favorite target of Drake May entering camp.
Yeah, but Hunter Henry
good tight ends
is just good. Like, he'll give you, he's going to give you your 40-something catches, 50 catches for like 700 yards with a 7-6 touchdowns.
He's just a solid tight end.
Consistent.
He's an egg sandwich with no bacon. It's
good. He's a professional tight end.
There's too many good tight ends now.
Yeah, and there really is. When you said, I started doing that the other day and started looking at the tight ends.
Yep.
The position's kind of had like a resurgence. There's a lot of really good tight ends out there, and it's one of my favorite positions.
One of mine too, man. And they always undervalued it. During my time, I never understood that.
Yeah.
Tight ends never got the love that these are guys that block and catch. Like, they do a little bit of everything.
Just ask Christian Fourier. They should be paid the most because they're treated like a lineman. They're treated like a wide receiver. They need to know everything. Blah, blah, blah. Jeez, he was preaching Big that save. Forever. Yes, Dan Ball.
All right, you guys got to go to break. Can I read one mean tweet?
Okay, I knew you'd be waiting for this.
Hart probably can't have her because Awaken 180 says so.
Oh. Way to get the sponsor in, though. Appreciate you, troll. Sydney Sweeney, he made a comment about her that I stand by, but people reacted very negatively and meanly on social media.
Your own family.
Even my own family ripped me. That did hurt the most. Good point, Stiz. You know, it's one thing from outside the building, but inside the family, that really
the tweet is coming from inside the house.
It hurt.
Walks like a duck, Andy.
All right, let's move on. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to get back to the Boston Red Sox, who are scoring runs in bunches in the first inning, in multiple games. The offense has turned a corner, except out of the corner of my eye, I see Ted Johnson shaking his head in disbelief. And one player has injected some life in the offense. It's not just Abreu and some of the other guys. One young superstar player that Nick Fitzy Stevens wanted in the big leagues got off to a slow start. But as Roman Anthony turned the corner, and is he part of the reason for hope for these Boston Red Sox? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.